Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 387 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I am Glenn.
How's it going, fellas?
Yet again, I'm grinning. I'm fucking grinning because winners are grinners.
Yes.
How good is footy?
I'm grinning because just like winning vicariously through Twill Nation is just fucking great. I mean, we got to get to the game recap for later, but I'll tell you, it was fucking heartwarming today.
Like, today?
Seeing those bets that our mate Ryan, who we broke bread with on the last day of existence of Fat Belly Jacks, right before
correct.
The Rona hit hard.
That's it.
And he came to the Facebook group last night and he's like, look, I've got a couple of multis on. What should I do? And one of them was $100 on a long multi that was paying about $800 at the end of the line. And it was reliant on Parramatta beating the Tigers 13+ today.
Yep.
He had another multi. I can't remember how much the stake was, but he stood to win about $3,800. And the last leg required Parramatta to win by 1-12. And the payout figure on that one was about $1,000. So I said, look, you know, $1,000 is a good magic weekend for you.
Take the grand.
Take the grand in the hand. Don't get greedy. And then this other one, because Parramatta are going to beat the West Tigers 13+. So take the other one and then let that other one ride because you're going to get like another $800 or whatever it was because Parramatta are surely going to win 13+. So then we get to the game itself and we're like, oh, fuck. And the way that game finished, I was riding that bet home as if it was my own. And I couldn't believe it. And I've never, ever wished for Mitch Moses to kick a goal in my life until today. Until the 81st minute of that game. It's the first time I've ever wished anything good to happen to that little shit fucking germ.
I feel that you've unlocked some secret here, a la the best-selling book, The Secret.
also perpetrated by Queensland brain genius whose name I can't remember, who Kevin's hired.
You should write a book called If It Rhymes, Do It. Your sole advice to this cunt was you get $1,000 in the hand.
Well, I mean, I was just applying my other learnings from other lessons and don't get greedy, take profits on the way. That's all.
And okay. I thought,
and yeah, so, if you bet $200 down and you're taking $1,000 out of it, then that's a massive, that's a big win.
Yeah, so you've just overthought everything and fucked it. You just the next page is don't be greedy or you'll end up needy.
Well, there you go. All right. Done.
We're fucking making literary history here.
So what do we call it? It needs to be punchy, like you've got the, you know, The Secret. Do we call it The Rhyme? Or do we call it, you know, the Time of Rhyme or The Time to Rhyme or, you know, we need to come up with a punchy title. The Rhyming Couplet.
I just feel like I don't have much to offer when it comes to multis. I'm just going to stay out of it. I should have probably done that.
No, you fucking don't.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's right. Well, hey,
on this fucking, you know, storming out. See ya.
Yeah.
Don't let the door
thank
hit you.
I'm so glad you piped up there, motherfucker, because I totally forgot about the way you cost us. Well, you know what you did? Because, you know, I said, like, you know, if we win, hypothetically, this multi that we were talking about last week on the Wednesday episode, hypothetically, we win, we'll just give it to charity. And I was thinking, and as it's happening, I'm like, this is going to fucking happen. This is going to come true.
Yeah, so what do we do? Charity?
Like, we could just throw it to, like, Mossy or something.
Yep.
I mean, he was a fucking mascot of the show, old Soggy. We could throw it to his Learn to Walk Again charity or, you know, whatever it is, and that would be amazing. Except the one thing about Maltese that it's like the downside of Maltese, it's when they don't fucking win.
That is a fairly strong downside.
And that takes us to the first game of the round where we had the Panthers 46 defeating the Seagulls 6. I'd like you to get the multi up at this stage, Jared, just so you can remember the exact legs that we had on there. The Panthers had a double to Brian To'o. Yes. I felt like I was very high on To'o's chance of scoring tries in this game, but we'll talk about that later. Leota, kick out. I actually even said almost kick out for two. I know that wasn't a requirement and we didn't put that on the multi, but I did say that. Matt Burton, I think we agreed, was going to get a try. We were all agreed on him?
No, we were on Malt.
And we were on Capewell for sure.
So it was kick out?
Yep.
Capewell?
Mm-hmm.
Momorowski?
Yep.
Panthers 13 plus?
Yep. All of which cash.
And we voted for To'o to score as a winger.
Yes.
In which case, fucking super Oracle over here goes, fucking Charlie Stanley scored three tries in a game a long time ago, and so he's going to do it again. And we said, okay.
I've never been more offended. You can say what you want about the multi and the gambling and all the... I don't fucking talk like that.
I'd say hundreds of episodes of audio recording say that you do.
I just feel like you got the tone wrong and the pitch is just way off.
If there were only a way that we could analyse your voice.
Put it this way. Your fucking Alexa's going haywire in the background of your house right now, just based on me. But
so, unfortunately.
What we didn't take into account was that Charlie Staines plays outside Momorowski, a.k.a. fucking Nappy San, because doesn't he fucking make Staines disappear?
I haven't seen anyone with so much white line fever as Momorowski since watching fucking Al Pacino in Scarface.
Correct.
So, Cleary 6 of 8 conversions and a penalty goal is all beside the point. This game played out pretty much exactly the way that we predicted. One thing I did notice, though, and this pattern also followed the Manly pattern as well, of like, you know, conceding some tries early, scoring coming back, holding pretty staunch and actually, you know, competing for probably the first 20 minutes of the second half, but not getting much result out of it. In this case, none. And then falling away at the end to, like, you know, let the score fucking blow out a bit. And even despite all of that, if they could actually defend on the goal line, like, I reckon five tries, I don't know exactly, let's say five tries came from just like making contact in the goal line defense and then the guy sort of spinning or just being able to lunge enough to sort of get, like, the, you know, it's fucking crazy. And like, that is literally the ball game right there. Even if you don't, and like, you look at other games that happened, for example, the Titans were probably, you know, not the greatest example, but an example. The Raiders, though, you know, specifically, just being able to defend your goal line.
Yep.
Because the way the rules are at the moment, what's going to happen is teams are going to just roll end to end. So the real differences come in, obviously, how well you roll, but it's just being able to defend. If you can defend your goal line, because you're probably doing, teams are probably doing more goal line defense this year than, you know, than ordinarily, because it's just rolling from end to end more often. If you can defend in your 20 to repel most raids,
I'll try and remember to make sure of this for next week. But some cautionary or early look I did on tackled in opposition's 20 stats.
Yep.
Didn't really point to much of a difference.
Yeah, but for
however,
in this example, what I mean is, like, Penrith didn't score any tries. There were these glorious fucking backline movements from fucking, you know, from far out. They were all, you know, close. That was down that end, and then sort of getting close and then sort of, you know, breaking through and like getting an arm out and that sort of 100%. Thing. Like, you know, they were just failures in goal line defense,
yeah,
you know?
That's it.
Positives from Ailey, none. But if you're going to choose some, obviously Custer's, you know, if he doesn't fucking start, I mean, my God, he's like the fucking one of the only bright lights of the fucking side. And all of the bench guys came on and did way better than the people who they replaced. So I would like to see those guys rewarded, you know, with starting. And, like, especially, like, Tigers fans will be like, oh, fucking, you know, Aloye, this, blah, blah. He's been fucking great. Like legitimately good.
That guy can play.
In badly beaten teams. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, he's fucking, and off the bench, considering he's not starting, he's making meters, he's fucking great.
And those same Tigers fans that have anything negative to say about the way he left the club, all bullshit aside, guy was probably our best player last year.
Yeah, except for the other one that left your club, Harry Grant.
Yeah. And like he I believe he won the rookie of the year of the entire competition.
Yeah.
Which was, yeah.
Yeah, I've erased Harry Grant from my memory for my
Harry
own
Grant
health.
Was great. Harry Grant was great for the Tigers.
There's a fucking cracker of a game comment coming up about Harry Grant. I can't fucking wait.
So yeah, all the Panthers keep rolling. The Manly fucking waiting for their fucking hooker and fullback to come back and fucking waiting for fucking something to happen.
Your fullback coming back does not fix that fucking rabble. Like, and what you pointed to was exactly correct in terms of goal line defense. And just pure fucking complacency. You know, effort face gives you a bit of spark in attack. He gives you a tiny little bit of organisation in the back.
Well, he gives all the organisation.
But
he's
not making up five tries.
No, but I mean, if there's just, you know, just a general improvement in communication and cohesion across the defensive line would make a massive difference. Just a little bit. Even a little bit, but the fact that he's like he's—I mean, he's like Brett Stewart was. I mean, he actually, you know, coordinates the entire fucking defense. So, which is why it's such a such a blow when he's not there. But we shall see. But the thing is, the game today is fucking built for like hookers like fucking Fainu to slice through. Yeah. You know, when they feel the urge. And like, especially this weekend in these lopsided games, it kind of lays things more to sort of to, you know, bear to see. Really, you just need to have a hooker that gives quick service, not one out.
That's it.
You need to be able either get it one out and then that guy sends it on again, or the hooker, you know, sends it out to the edge, because you can't just go one out and have the guys running into places where there's fucking encampments of
defenders. And on that note, Penrith are doing all of this at the moment without their hooker that does exactly that. So this was was an appy-less Panthers side.
But they still do. But they're still their second best. They're still able to provide the service required to do that.
He is. But Kenny relies a lot on, as you just alluded to, the extra ball-playing ability of forwards around him, especially guys like Yo, that essentially plays like another, you know, pseudo half.
Yeah.
But in terms of Penrith, they just kept doing what they did. It's another example where they were really in this game for the full 80. And by that I mean from when Manly started to get on top through some weight of possession and controlling the football, because in the beginning they were terrible, fucking dropping the ball everywhere.
Oh, the usual.
But when they could hold on to it, they built a bit of pressure on Penrith, so much so that Penrith started to make some errors, especially coming out of their own end. But for them to be able to sit down and really weather that, refocus and come back out in the second half for their bench forwards, you know, the fucking luxury of being able to bring Liam Martin on from your bench to a tiring defense is fucking sensational with the effort he puts in. Cleary controlled the game exceptionally well, and Luai's doing what he does in terms of adding spark and really adding to that threat on that left-hand side.
He's really, this year, his game has like really gone to like this headless chook level where he's running around in circles around the side.
But tell me that's not, tell me oh, that's great, not yeah. some of the great combos. Like think of,
I love the guy.
Think of Gowie and Presto. you know. Like, Preston Campbell was probably a bit smarter and a bit more calculated about what he did. But he had that fucking chaos engine play about him as well. It sucked when Manly lost Sully, because he was probably your strongest attacking weapon.
Yeah, and he's actually been getting the ball the last couple of weeks because Ciro's injured. But Ciro always cuts back in.
The game was played at Brookvale, so that was always going to cunt one of the Manly players because it's an absolute shithole and the worst ground in rugby league. But
did he not injure himself like with a hip or something in a tackle?
Yeah, at Brookvale.
Oh, so even it's HIAs count to Brookvale. Even HIAs at Brookvale.
It doesn't count. Care how it fucks you.
Okay.
It is a drunk guy at 4 in the morning.
It's indiscriminate.
It is a Sharks fan at a brothel on the Gold Coast.
Or Thailand.
Picking the girl with body piercings, because that's all that's there. But
that is oddly specific.
Out of that game, looking at it, I think that one of the things that I was happiest with was if you look at the very, very end, there were 3 minutes to go,
mm-hmm.
and Kurt Capewell was involved in a tackle where he was one-on-one. His first contact didn't stop the momentum. He came through, and I can't remember who he was tackling, but they were trying to get their arm free for an offload. And they've got their arm free 3 times, and every time he's readjusted the position of his arm in the tackle to prevent that offload. They were ahead by 1,000. They were going to win the game. There was no need for him to do that. But that sort of attitude in Penrith is so fucking positive and really shows the lengths they're going to be a complete football team for a complete game.
But as a Capewell fan, as we all are, I mean, it would never be considered to be a surprise to know that he was fucking all over another bloke. Like, I mean, that's the minimum I expect from him. Is this thing on?
That's cheap, even for you.
Let's move on. Well, do you have anything to say, Clint?
I would have at least thought that you would have made some comment to, you know, Brookvale being a gloryless hole until Capewell shows up.
That's brilliant.
Oh, see, that's what someone should have tweeted us, but didn't. There's an opportunity lost.
The only thing I wanted to add, I figured that you guys would wax lyrical about this one, and rightfully so. But the Jake Trbojevic, the footage of him getting stuck into the group at halftime, trying to inspire something out of them, was pretty, you know, like to see the level of passion from a guy like that, which is not surprising by any stretch, but, you know, there's elements of effort in any team, no matter how bad they're going, or how, you know, injuries and, you know, lack of depth and all the rest of it. But to inspire effort, and I just don't know that he got quite the response he was hoping to get, but you know, that guy he's the epitome of a leader in your side. And I know that, you know, his brother gets far more raps because of the exciting stuff that he does, but if it was me, I'd prefer to have Jake than his brother.
Well, yeah, because he's on the football field. on that note, a lot's been said. There were so many comments about this and that exact scene you were talking about, where Jakey's there trying to do his fucking G up, you know, everyone get in and prove we're not cunts thing. And some very notable people just completely fucking ignoring what he's saying and having their own conversations.
Yeah, that actually wasn't the case though.
Oh, it wasn't. So no. Looking the other way, talking to somebody else, isn't not paying attention to having your own conversation.
I actually saw someone looking the other way and actually fucking just like cursing out loud in aggravation at the try that had been scored or whatever that was that, you know, caused, it had to be a try.
Yeah, well, the dumb kind of question, he's used to talking to himself. So my point stands.
Yeah, no, that's just fucking haters trying to just find another fucking angle to broadcast their hate.
Okay. Fair enough.
So, yeah.
In the Facebook group, Rishi said, stats question. Does the Fish now have one more try assist this year than Cherry Evans? Yes, he does. Shunter said, Leota try. I'm dust already. Greg said, last time I saw so many dozy-looking cunts getting fucked with such little mercy, I was watching the Bill Cosby trial. Always next year, fuck bags. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. Ryan said, my wife just told me she really likes the number 7 on the Panther side. My life is the pits at the moment. Hammers said, remember that girlfriend you had in the late 90s, early 2000s that still crosses your mind and leaves that what if we got back together kind of feeling? Well, Manly and Dez are showing you the result of that reunion so you don't have to go through it.
Daniel, do you reckon they re-sign him, Nate? Sorry to cut you off. Do you reckon they re-sign him?
I wouldn't be unless, you know, like with some KPIs in place that need to be met before
they extend. I didn't ask what you would do
before they extend.
What is the club going to do?
Haven't they already done that? Didn't they already give him a 1 year?
I don't know. I don't know if it's I know they're talking about it, but I don't know if it's actually happened. I mean, it may have. I'm pretty sure it was at a stage where, like, yeah, this is going to happen, but I don't know if it actually has. Mm. And I would certainly imagine that, you know, recent events would mean that. Yeah, it's plenty. It's plenty. It's doesn't inspire you to put pen to paper in a quick fashion.
Mm. Mm. Sorry, Jack.
You know, if you, yeah. But the thing is that it drives me fucking crazy because I mean, like Tuvi had got into a grand final, had a fucking overall great run, and I think just finished out, you know, just ended up in ninth after results falling against him in the last round of the year. I think I can't remember for sure, but it was just out of the finals anyway. And he got sacked with that whole results driven business bullshit. And let me fucking tell you, time to remember that results driven business shit right now. Mm. And I'm not saying get Tuvi back, but I'm saying, like, you know, you need to hold fucking people to the same standards.
So it's an interesting point. What do you do though? My opinion is that the coaching stocks suffer from the same problem as a lot of the junior stocks coming through. That there's really no good nursery for them. The ones that come out don't get decent jobs or go into decent situations. So they're fucked. Look at all the new coaches we've had enter for their first jobs that have gone into a fucked situation and have pretty much been marked, you know, close to never to coach again and are just now forever assistants.
Yeah, I saw someone passing a rumor to me that I didn't believe, and it's turned out that I don't think it's true. But like, they're going to get Flano in for like an assistant or something. And I was like, you know what? Great, because if there's one thing about Shane Flanagan that I know, is that motherfucker
he does drugs.
He will win at all costs. He will do anything to win, including cheat. And I love that fucking and I love that's a winner's mentality, and I love it.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, they're talking about Paul Green as an assistant. Yeah, the guy that is like more out of fucking touch with the modern game.
Yeah,
Fuck out of here.
Aaron said that is one of the worst Manly performances I have witnessed since they entered the comp in 2003. Fat Hairy Lazy said all this game confirms is the sexy good bloke was made to look better than what he is by this big, mobile, strong, sexy, slick footy team. Hashtag chins get the wins. That's fucking great. Mup on Twitter said, does Carty take the Manly job this week or does he hold on 3 weeks for the Donkeys gig?
Yeah, I think if you're getting the Donkeys gig, thank fuck he's on their staff and not ours, because, I mean, then you'd be like, then I'd really be shitting myself.
Yeah, fuck. Jesus. At Boo Says on Twitter says, it seems that the game has really passed old Dez by. The fact that nearly no one, including the captain, wasn't listening to Jake behind the line is very worrying. There you go. At Claire Simo said, at the game last night, a Penrith fan shouted out, where the fuck's Momorowski? About 5 seconds before he scored. 100% has to be a Twill Nation member on the multi. finally, at Lambretta, GP1971, who, fucking welcome aboard, because I certainly hope you are a general practitioner, and not a Grand Prix fan.
Do you really need all of those fucking numbers after your name, though, man?
I assume he was born in 1971.
Yeah, but you know, you don't want to give the impression that your account is one of those first name bunch of number fucking QAnon bots. That is true. You know.
Oh no, I got my tip wrong. Said absolutely no one. That was as predictable as somebody saying my piles are bleeding after shelving a cactus.
I mean, that would be predicated on you having piles before shelving said cactus. But I suppose if you were someone who was in the habit of shelving cactuses, perhaps it is a matter of fact that you do have piles.
I shall leave you and my treating physician to discuss anal semantics.
Moving on.
That's it.
The Rabbitohs 38 defeated the sexy good bloke Bulldogs 0 at Stadium Australia. The Rabbits tries 2. Mansour, Reynolds, a double to Cody Walker, Alex Johnson, Latrell Mitchell tries. Reynolds 6 of 6 conversions and a penalty goal. Glenn.
The Rabbitohs, I thought it was a really impressive performance. They got into their groove early on and just worked the Bulldogs over and really ground them into the turf for 60 minutes, put points on, you know, when they were available, didn't overplay their hand, and then that last 20 minutes after turning the screws consistently for 60 minutes, that last 20 minutes they really blew the game open. And considering that they're in this type of form, you know, and they look this in sync in round 4, the Rabbitohs and the way they play and cook with the six again rule and stuff like that, it's, you know, they're a pretty scary side. I think they're much like Penrith. The Rabbits control their effort and their energy perfectly and are pretty adept at exerting what they need to do. Not overplaying their hand, and you know they're playing the Bulldogs. The result was as expected, but it was really clinical and professional, and yeah, I was impressed by the Bunnies' performance, and far less impressed with the Bulldogs, who were fucking horrible to watch. Doesn't look like there's any hope on the horizon. Poor old Burton, if he does end up going there, like the expectations of that young man to turn that absolute cesspool around, because other than him, there's not much coming out of Belmore saying this is our plan.
Well, how long? Someone told me today he was.
How long have they signed him for?
Is he on a 3-year?
I think it was 3. Yeah, I want to say 3. Yeah.
I saw someone said to me today that the rumours are starting to emerge as he's trying to investigate the possibilities of a backflip.
Mm.
And, like, why the fuck wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Honestly. The thing with the Bulldogs is, I mean, like, my team is shit, and I don't know where the wind's coming from. But the Bulldogs, I don't even know where a try is coming from.
Yeah.
Like, that, their attack is so non-threatening. They never even get to the point where you're like, oh, fuck, you almost got there. They almost did that. Oh, it was no try. Like, it's not even that. It's just the most non-threatening mistakes in the red zone.
To put in perspective, it was also a situation where they lost one of their halves to Josh Mansour's cock.
Yeah,
you know, true. Very early on in the game.
Gave him the old fucking donor.
Was it going to alter the result to any great degree, though?
I don't think so.
But in the spirit of
fairness, there's a reason why Lachlan Lewis didn't start there this year.
Yeah, there is. Which the only point, and you know, Glenn, you covered off. Rabbits were great. Dogs were shit. Is the right tactic for the Bulldogs trying to fire people up? Like, you know, the Jack Hetheringtons of the world really getting in there and trying to get under people's skin and put the niggle in and all of that shit. Is that the right tactic?
No.
When there is so much extra talent on the pitch against you, do you piss them off?
I mean, the plan, the rationale behind that is obviously, you know, you want to get in their head and try and force them to make mistakes and not take full advantage of the talent surplus they have, you know, talent differential they have over and above yours.
Mm.
That's the plan. But then when you've got Cody Walker, who is also the fucking like download low key grub himself.
Yeah. I don't know that he's low key. And,
And then you get him fired up, and I mean that's when he started. I mean it was when Hetherington and when he started to get fucking fired up, that's when South ran away with it.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think it's horses for courses. There are probably plenty of playmakers that you can get in their head and shut them down.
Yeah.
But I don't think that the Rabbits possess those playmakers, and it was probably there. And then especially you know when you get like a you know a Latrell that's in an inspired mood as well. That you know.
Yeah,
but having said all that, I loved everything Hetherington did that game. Like, his heart was in the right place.
Mm.
And when the rest of them are just not doing anything, it was at least pleasing to see one of them trying to do something.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. That is very true. Rishi in our Facebook group said, Sauce scores a try and knocks Lewis out of the game with his groin. Is he the signing of the year? Yes, he is. Technically, Matt Burton's the signing of the year. Oopsie. Liam said, Canterbury's attack reminds me of an under-7s game. Two passes wide of the ruck, and every kid gets to have a run. It is very predictable.
Mm-hmm.
One-Eyed Tiger said, the Bulldogs score 000s over 3 weeks. It's officially an emergency in Trent Town. Relegate this tin pot pub side out of our league. Terry. Said Doggies completely outclassed today. I thought the forwards were better, excluding Napa. Effort is okay, but they have to stop giving away six again. Thank fuck we don't have Dez, because it can be worse.
Yeah, the only problem is they haven't played three of the top four teams in the competition. And
who have they played though? They've played Penrith, South.
They played you. They haven't. I mean, Manly's the only team this year that's going to be able to play Easts when they're Easts.
Yep.
If you know what I mean, because South injured them all in the first, you know, in the first half of that game. So South did well against East when they were East too, because they were up by like 16-18 or something. But Manly's the only team this season that gets to play them because, you know, with Keary gone, they're not the same fucking side.
Spot on.
But yeah,
the Doggies Sharky have got. Dave.
Oh, I was just going to say we'll be going into a Wednesday, but the Doggies got the Storm this weekend.
Fucking hell!
Just when they're trying to avoid four donuts in a row.
With an attacking coach. Sharky Dave said, this is a lesson, kids. Always honour your bets. Karma is a bitch.
Damn straight.
Lando said, all pub sides should get together for a group action against the Bulldogs for bringing the phrase into disrepute. That's us. Moving on.
Okay, what do we got next? Speaking of the Storm, yes, it's the Storm 40 defeated the Broncos 6 down at Amy Park. The Storm had 4 tries to Ryan Pappenhausen, a double to George Jennings, Cameron Munster with the other one, Pappenhausen 5 of 7 conversions, and Adokar with a disrespectful penalty goal to finish off the game. The Broncos 6 try to Xavier Coates and a conversion to Jermaine Osako. Jay.
There's the other one, Josh Adokar. Does Josh Adokar do anything to that Bulldogs attack when he goes there next year?
Last week, we were talking about the Bulldogs, and you asked the question to the group and said, are there any players from the Bulldogs side that you would have?
Yep.
And I said, Nick Kotrick, and I would like to officially retract that now because it was patently obvious on the weekend that they have fucking ruined that kid's career.
Yes.
He is, like, the handling errors, the useless reads in defense, absolutely fucking hopeless and a shadow of the kid who was a beast for us in Origin.
Yeah.
And for the Raiders in just, you know, great fucking
his
seasons.
His ability to create something from virtually nothing, the amount of times he did that for the Raiders.
Yep.
And he dead set, look, he's got 2 left feet now for the Bulldogs.
And I get he hasn't got the guys around him to you know, allow him to, you know, create and trust and things like that. But at the same time, you're responsible for your own performance, and that part of his game is just fucking awful as well. Mm.
Yeah, that's it. This game, though, much the way that in the grand final Melbourne had last year, Melbourne had absolutely nothing to do with it. They were just there. and it was purely dependent on how Penrith played, how that game went. In a similar fashion, Brisbane had absolutely no control over this game whatsoever. The reason they were in it when they were in it was purely because of Melbourne's mistakes and nothing that Brisbane actually did.
Yeah.
So they did look better with some wind in their sails than they have in recent weeks. But then when the Storm clicked back into gear, remembered who they were, Pappenhausen put on 47 points in about
in
2 minutes.
Yeah.
Which hasn't been seen since young Matt Moylan set Bathurst on fire those years ago. The Storm is still the Storm, but they're in a transition period. And if you can remember the last time they went through a massive transition when they lost Kronk and then when there were some additional rule changes, it took them a little while to turn Storm ball into something that worked all the time. Mm-hmm. And I feel like they're going through a little bit of a transition there again, where it's a little bit different about who's controlling the game, about who people go to in times. And I think moving forward, Jerome Hughes is going to take more and more and more and more responsibility of that side. There are a couple of instances in this game where he looked like the couple of hundred game veteran. You know, one in particular where there was almost a Thurston-like boot to get them out of trouble after a very ordinary offensive set. And then he was down there leading the chase on his own kick and really dragging the rest of his teammates with him. So Melbourne did exactly what they needed to do. Brisbane, like all of the bottom teams this year, they were able to be competitive in stretches, but over that 80 minutes, their focus and their fitness was nowhere near what it needs to be. Match with that, that they legitimately don't have any strategic fifth tackle options.
We joke about Milford, but I mean, he was fucking awful.
Yeah, he was. He really was. And it's this, almost ADD inability to view anything but the next three tackles in front of him. You know, when we're not setting up pressure to really launch an attacking raid on their line and keep them pinned down there, we're not doing anything while he's in control. He's just there. Oh, yeah, we're going to do this. Oh, yeah, we're going to do this. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go for a run.
So, oh, yeah, I'm just going to get caught with the ball on the fifth tackle
again.
30 metres out from my own fucking try line.
Exactly.
Jesus Christ.
That's it.
Broncos are, as you mentioned, they're just outclassed, and there's a few teams in the comp that are just, whether it's the rule changes or a combination of multiple factors, but they're just woefully off the mark in a competitive sense over the course of the 80 minutes. And then there's times where effort just isn't there. And again, this isn't just the Broncos that are guilty of that, but from the Storm's perspective, I agree with what you say in that they haven't quite worked out how the changes to the game are going to benefit them, but I feel like they're getting closer each week, and part of that is this high energy blitzkrieg when, especially off the back of six agains or some lazy markers or slow ruck, etc. They really push up around the ball off the back of the big boys in the middle. And you saw it with Pappenhausen just exploded there for, 15-minute period or whatever. But it wasn't just him. You know, Munster was full of running and Hughes as well. When it's on, it's fucking impressive. I don't think they're quite as close to the mark as the Rabbitohs or Penrith at the minute. But when it's on, it's definitely the same level of effectiveness.
Oh, and if they can keep Pappenhausen on the field and allow him the freedom that they seem to be giving him at the moment to touch the ball whenever he wants. Like, I mean, the amount of times that he's in there at dummy half and acting like he's in there as a genuine half, in attack a lot of the time. He's always around the ball. As long as he's – obviously he's got a license to do that. If they keep doing that, it just seems like the more that he touches the ball, the more that the team rolls forward. And, I mean, they've still got Harry Grant to come back in as well.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, that's the thing about Storm. I mean, they haven't even reached their final form yet, and that's just through the fact that they haven't been able to get some guys on the field.
Yeah.
You know?
But again, just looking at that forward pack, it's relentless. Mm. It is absolutely relentless. And the quality and experience they've gone there, and again, it's why they handle transition periods so well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they lose one, maybe two players, but they still have a generational amount of experience within that team.
Yep.
So, what did the plebs have to say about this one? Sorry, I just got caught up. There's another potential beast mode emoji scandal coming. The official Souths account has tweeted one out.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What, a gorilla?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So, which, you know, again.
We had some tweets while I go and have a look at that.
Yes. Maybe you can tell me what platform they use that uses that gorilla emoji. Michael said, are the Broncos the quickest team to headfuck themselves? I think they would have to go very fucking close at the moment. Cameron said, this is like watching my cat play with a fucked up gecko that she's ripped all the legs off bar one. Mm. Hammers said, MILF getting tackled on the last inside his own 30 pretty much sums up his last 5 years at Brisbane. That is very true. Cameron said, Storm bring it home in an unimaginable come from behind victory for the ages. A win for the people's team. Cruzy said, we have juniors that have more footy brains and bigger hearts than this current squad. Seriously, much better to watch.
Yep.
Yeah. At Queenslander 22 on Twitter said, thank God it's over. The Kevolution has a long way to go. On that note, how do you guys feel about Kevy being the jovial, take the piss guy in his press conference every week after being fucking thumped? If he was your coach, how would you feel?
Well, yeah, but at the same time, I mean, I don't know whether, you know what? It is hard. You don't want him to be jovial, but you also, I don't think it's a bad thing to have the coach, you know, that's kind of like high-spirited or, you know, optimistic, you know, sort of vibe either. You know, I don't think that's a bad thing either. But at the end of the day, you know, these press conferences are a fucking joke anyway. And
that is correct.
Yeah, everyone knows it. And if you lose heavily like Kevy did, you've got to be there anyway. So
much is made of the players, though, yucking it up at full time when they've just been blasted by 40. Yep. And then your coach goes into the press conference and, you know, it's not a million miles from what the players are doing, which they cop a lot of heat for. So,
yeah, but I mean, like, you know, I don't see him as being like, you know, he's taking the piss or like having a laugh about it. I see it more as that he's just trying to be unaffected and,
like,
you know,
optimistic. For example,
you know what I mean? Like
last week when he was asked flat out about Fifita after the Titans analed them.
Yep.
He said, you know, so something close to, oh, was he out there? I didn't see him.
Yeah.
Laugh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a cunt question that demands a non-answer, and that's what he gave him.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. You know, so you're officially Team Kevy. How good?
No, I hope he gets fired into the sun. But at the same time, if that does happen, then it does open up the possibility for the Broncos to acquire a good coach that can pull him out of the hole.
Tell you what, you want to fucking hope that he keeps his job for another 6 or 8 weeks. Because if he's available, that's exactly the sort of move you'd make.
There's no way that a coach that is fired is going to be replaced with a coach that was fired at the same time.
Hang on.
That's near.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
That's what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. At I Love Beer 316 said, Pappenhausen superstar, what a way to bounce back after two straight losses, dominant all over the park. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. Which ironically was the only one of those tweets that actually had it for the Broncos game.
Yeah, it has become a thing. Is that it?
That's it.
Sharkies 48 defeated the Cowboys 10 at Netstrata Jubilee. The Sharkies tries came through Hiroti, Dugan, a double to Tracy, Moylan, Kennedy with a double, and Wilton. Townsend, 8 of 8 conversions, defeating the Cowboys 10. Tries to Tabuai Fidow and Holmes with 1 of 2 conversions to Valentine Holmes. Glenn.
Lack of talent, depth, and most critically effort killed the Cowboys in any chance they had of winning this game. They are one of those sides, as I mentioned earlier, that's a long way off competitive. They seem disinterested. And I think the Josh Maguire thing, he probably, you know, I'm loath to defend Josh Maguire or give any real credit to what he says, but you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, and I don't think he's the only one in the playing group that's over the performances they're putting together at the moment by the looks of what they're putting together. So for Peyton, you know, how long do they stick with him when, you know, they've had the Taumalolo thing, which his injury has probably taken some of the heat off that. You've got another high-profile forward now coming out and being critical of the team's performance. Valentine Holmes looks, you know, a shell of himself, of his best.
He looks exactly like every NRL player returning from an attempt to make it in the NFL.
True. Yeah, but let's also not forget, a lot of, you know, people that have played other positions all of a sudden demanding to be a fullback.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, the NFL time and all of that stuff, I'm sure, has an effect on it. But fullback is as demanding, if not more so in some respects, than being a half.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Just even in terms of the mental toughness that it takes, there are rules in place now that essentially mean when you are a kicker as a half,
mm-hmm.
you are protected, and rightly so. You know, we don't want people chopping legs and fucking snapping knees and all of that shit. It is still perfectly acceptable and encouraged to time a hit so that the second a fullback's foot touches the ground,
yeah,
they're fucking annihilated.
Yep.
You know, so this trend with, oh, well, I'm okay here, and it's another backline position.
Mm.
I'm great here or serviceable here. Make me fullback. Has it worked? When's it come on?
I'm trying to think.
Yeah. I can't think of a great winger that's come
I'm
on.
I'm certain there's examples of it, but I can't think of any just off the top of my head while we're talking about it.
And again, if it's worked, I'd suggest that in that case, that person's been a star fullback through most of their junior career and know the position, broke into first grade by playing on the wing, and then
I'll tell you where it's worked now. There's one in progress example of actually working now.
Who's that?
Took a little while, but now it's working. Latrell.
Yep. Yeah, I'd say that's working, but again, I would also say that he
had a lost year, though. He had a lost year through injury and lack of ability to make it work.
Yep.
But now I think he's got it.
Yeah, spot on.
And he's only going to get better too. But yeah, you're right. I mean, that's like an outlying, rare unicorn of an example.
Yeah, that has an incredibly physically gifted individual.
Yeah, and it certainly
being coached by arguably, you know, the one of the top three coaches in the history of the game.
Yeah.
Back to this game, I think for the Sharks, William Kennedy, it's fast become a key hub in what Cronulla are doing and how they play when they play at their best. He was really impressive in this game, and he's, you know, I don't think he's far off being one of the most dynamic fullbacks in the NRL. I don't know that he's got a fantastic passing game at the moment. He's far more a run-centric type player, but we see a lot of those type of fullbacks develop, you know, the passing game later, you know, as they've played a lot more first grade. I think that'll come with him, but he's a really impressive really impressive player for the Sharks. And the other guy that I was quite impressed with for Cronulla was Matt Moylan. That's some of the best footy I've seen him play in several seasons.
This is like his best game for the Sharks, though, right? This is
his best game for the Sharks, yeah. Yeah, for sure. And, I was impressed with, he really took some onus there and took certain parts of the game by the scruff of the neck and put his stamp on it. So I haven't seen him do that for quite a while.
Yeah, that's it. The other one I thought had a fantastic game for the Sharks was Hamlin Ewelli. Who I fucking love watching him play. And it's a situation where you say that they weren't up against very staunch opposition, and the defense the Cowboys threw up was just retreating the whole fucking game. I'm not sure that defensive line came forward once. He's just one of those guys who is effort all the time. Has really grown into his role within the club, and a club with the history of such great forwards, people like Wade Graham and Luke Lewis, and no one else. Ewelli, I thought was outstanding as well.
The Wilson was as well.
Yeah.
A fucking monster.
But,
and you look on the Cowboys side, though. I mean, and we've said this multiple times, but I'm like Cohen Hess.
Yeah.
Mate.
That's
41 metres.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct. Thieving a fucking living.
Murderous Frank Molo, 75 metres.
But here's the thing. No one's ever accused Chad Townsend of being an amazing half. You know, he at best has been a serviceable seven with decent game management skills. For the Dugan try, before he fucking green whistled himself, but for that Dugan try, he drifted past, I want to say, six Cowboys players.
Yeah.
Who made no attempt whatsoever to either stop his roaming or to put any pressure on him to make a decision. And you play like that, you're going to get absolutely handled every single week.
Right. Tweet me.
Terry said, as a Bulldog, Manly has stopped me from popping an artery in my neck, but it's the Cowboys that have made me truly relax. Hashtag fuck the Broncos. Troy said, couldn't even put 50 on us. Mitch said, Chad the lad with 8 from 8 and a handful of try assists eats pressure like Jared Hayne eats vagina without a care in the world. Justin said, as a Cowboy supporter, I thought it was a good outcome. For fuck's sake, they're a fucking disgrace. It was like watching the crippled children at a petting zoo, but all the animals are venomous. at RightMan28 on Twitter said, it was like watching a priest and a choir boy on a church camp after dark. Not pretty. Not pretty. What a right. Fall from grace.
The Raiders 20 defeated the Titans 4 at Netstrata Jubilee. The Raiders tries 2, Rapina, Papali and Sutton. Croker 3 of 3 conversions and a penalty goal. The Titans 4 points came through a try to smooth Corey Thompson. And that was the end of that. Glenn.
So, I expect the Titans to match it with the better sides as the season goes on. And they've certainly showed some reasonable form in the first few weeks. I think this was probably a test that was a bit beyond them at this stage of their development as a side. And I think they will be one of the better teams when we get to the back end of the season. But the Raiders just aren't a side to be bullied through the middle or on the edges. And I think they actually got the upper hand and knocked guys like Fifita and Tino over regularly, which really cuts into the Titans' game plan. I think a lot of what they do is that real force and drive through the middle and those guys on the edge for the, the Fogartys and those guys to play off the back of. And the Raiders really cope with that quite well. And when they had the ball, their own big men really got a good solid role on, and you know, they got space out wide, and you know, some of the tries they scored were quite impressive. So the Raiders are a test that the Titans weren't quite ready for at this stage of the season, but I think as you know, later in the season they'll be a lot more competitive, but the Raiders perform really well.
Jay.
Yeah, I think there were some definite individual performances that contributed. Like CNK was absolutely outstanding in that game. And his defensive efforts really helped set the tone early when both teams were coming out and trying to get some ascendancy in terms of momentum. He was absolutely fucking crucial in saving tries, which is just as important, we all know, as scoring them.
And Whiten's effort as well.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, say what you like about Ricky Stewart, and what I like to say is that he seems like a complete fuckwit, but for him to do the little things, like throw Ryan James into the starting side for this contest, stuff like that, I absolutely fucking love. And what an absolute first world problem to go, oh, look, you know, we've given Ryan the starting job up against his old side, and it just allows us to bring Papali'i off the bench. Like, for fuck's sake, that guy is the greatest bench player in the history of the sport.
and even off the bench, I mean, he still almost reaped 200 metres for himself.
Crazy.
Unbelievable.
The Titans, and Glenn, to echo your point, they've got a lot of opportunity creators in their side now. They've got a lot of those big mobile forwards with amazing wingspans that can get the ball free in tackles and create second phase opportunities. A lot of times they sort of don't know what to do with it.
Mm.
Contrast that, though, with situations like when Corey Thompson scored.
Yeah.
That was off the back of a fucking beautiful offload, was an absolute slick movement out to the left. And there aren't, I don't think, any defences in the league that stopped that, the way that came out. So as the Titans get more and more used to those opportunities within them, they'll just become a better and better football side.
Yeah, I think the Titans season is all about actually just getting their backs up, getting their backs on the same page, because and identifying what holes exist in the back line to fill in coming seasons. Because, you know, when you look at the pack, I mean, those guys did the job that would be enough to win a lot of games.
Yep.
In this game. So. Yep.
Correct.
But, and you know, through Fotuaika and Fifita, and especially Tino, who's just the king of those guys.
Yeah. Dude. Ben in the Facebook group said, fade that, cunts. Solzy said, how good is a long weekend? Beers, beach, and a win on the back of great defence. Still think the Raiders have a long way to go, but some really good signs. Yeah, that's fucking awesome. Much like you, the Raiders spend a lot of time superimposing themselves in situations to make themselves seem better than they actually are. Fucking great. Nortz said, Titans struggled with attacking options. Fogarty injured early. Boyd still not at that consistent player level. Still happy with where we are at as a team. Josh said, concerned about Raiders' attack, but can't fault their defence. Happy to see offloads kept to a minimum tonight, and thought Papa was used well off the bench. Can't wait to see the boys live in Penrith. Oh, I think you fucking can wait for that. Hammers said, it's games like this I have to remind myself that we're only 18 months removed from the wooden spoon. Still a long way to go to compete for a top four spot, but we're so far ahead of where we were this time last year. Can't fault the effort. Just need some polish and probably confidence when it comes to finishing off the bigger clubs. 18 months removed from a wooden spoon. I'd like you to go and look at what Penrith have done since they were cellar dwellers. 18 months, you really should be vying for a title by now. You absolute fucking poverty club. Fuck off.
You weren't vying for a title 18 months from a spoon.
Well, from cellar dwelling.
No. He said 18 months from a spoon. Yeah.
Big G Train on Twitter said, Tino is fast becoming the premier middle player. CNK was his usual consistent self, showing why he's been one of the best pickups for any team. At Real Vile Jelly said, Titans come up against a team that isn't elite level so far this year, but challenge them so much more than those they've come up against. They'll come back better. Canberra controlled it, but still look a bit rusty. There you go.
Okay, the Dragons, 22, defeated the Knights, 13, and McDonald Jones. The tries of the Dragons came through a double to Tarek Sims. Trent Merrin and Braden Williami scored tries, and Zach Lomax, 3 or 4 conversions. The Knights, 13, came through tries to Shibasaki and King, and Tex Hoy with 1 conversion, Mitchell Barnett with another one, and Kurt Mann with the field goal.
Jesus Christ. Williami, yeah. And Shibbert. Is this some sort of fucking bizarro universe?
It really is.
Where I they mean, can both play.
It's just it's making me wonder what the hell is going on with the fabric of the fucking the rugby league continuum right now.
Like in that situation where like, you know, every event that happens creates an offshoot universe.
Yeah.
Are we now the trash universe? Like, did something happen and someone made a decision? And we're now in a fucking shit universe where everything's going to be backwards. Fuck me. A lot of talk in this one. And, you know, look, there's talk from everyone that lost this week about how it's all the rules' fault and fucking Peter Volandis is out there, you know, somehow, like the Flash, moving at the fucking speed of light and shifting defenders out of the way so that people get line breaks without anybody seeing him.
So, can we take the higher ground and instead of acting like, you know, those fucking subhumans who want to fucking litigate the entire sport of rugby league a month into the competition, how about we fucking reconvene before the first week of the finals?
Correct.
And reflect on an entire season worth of results and statistics that will be laid out before us and maybe fucking
anyone see who how knows it sits anything there. Or anyone who actually knows anything about any sort of statistical analysis knows that it is fucking stupid to make blanket statements in this small of a sample size.
Correct.
Especially when these events have not happened in a vacuum. And multiple decisions from prior years directly affect outcome in these years. So the fucking blame game is as stupid as thinking Kalen Pong is a good fullback.
Exactly. Exactly.
But
thinking fucking David Nofaluma is a top 5 winger and deserves to play finals in State of Origin.
Hang on, mate.
What I was going to say here, though, is more so than the rules. This one was just Newcastle crueled by injury.
Yeah, and like and like key injury as well. Like, I mean, like Pierce, you know, Tex, their sexy Texy hoy boy, and Kurt Mann. I mean, like, there you go. That's 3/4 of your spine removed. And like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to fucking wade into the waters of our buddy fucking Frog here, but. We've seen what happens to people when 3/4 of their spine becomes deficient.
So it does sound like you just dove into the waters of our buddy Frog rather
that's
than
all
waiting.
That's all. Hashtag free Walt Frogman.
Look, I don't think he needs our help to fucking G himself up.
No.
You know there's a whole subset of people that dress like him as a fucking tribute? Fucking fantastic.
Oh, I love it. Myself included. It's the fashion of the day.
Yeah. In the same way that the Dogs MO is trying to fire people up,
mm-hmm.
fucking David Clemmer has yet again marked himself with the so easy to annoy to the stage that he implodes tag
mm-hmm.
that smart forward packs are now just going to run at him all fucking night. You know, because he really can't help himself, really cannot fucking help himself. At the beginning of this game, when the contest was on and both sides were going at each other, there was some nerves out there, obviously, some drop balls early. No one could really take the game by the scruff of the neck.
Yeah.
Clem's done that thing where he's gotten the shits with something and then wanted to be involved in 4 tackles in a set. That were all happening at different fucking parts of the field and then ends up, you know, being involved in a penalty, and that's how the first points are scored off the back of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's you got to love the passion and you got to love the aggression, but fuck me, control it. Because all you're doing is hurting the rest of your team. But you know, you lose your first choice seven, you lose your one. You know, realistically, you're just trying to stop the hemorrhaging.
Yes.
You know, so given I was 100% wrong on this one, I didn't think that the Dragons would really have any that much cohesion in attack without their seven. In Ben Hunt, but I thought Corey Norman did a serviceable job.
Yeah, so. I'm expecting to see the people's, you know, what Dragons fans' perceptions and comments about Smooth Corey changing slightly, because I mean he is probably the most derided player within that fan base at that club.
Yes.
However, he's been good the last 2 weeks.
He has,
it's also clear that Hook. You know, he has some sort of affinity with whatever Hook's putting down.
Yep.
And he's given him a role that's either easy enough for him or well suited enough for him to execute.
Yeah.
And it's all you can ask for.
How good would it be if there were just 1 year deals? Just 1 year deals for everyone.
Every year's a contract year, everyone's busting.
Every year's a contract year.
Yep.
You know? Keeps everyone on their fucking toes.
Yep.
You know, you're going to get the little ship jumpers, but it solves more problems than it creates.
Yep.
I thought the Knights were, you know, really, really gallant in this game to stay in it and keep the score as close as what it ended up, to be quite honest. They were in a world of hurt, obviously, and will continue to be so, given, you know, Pierce is going to be out. I don't even know if he's going to be back this season, depending on the extent of his tear, but...
it's a tear, not a rupture. They were saying, wasn't it?
It's not quite like a peck injury.
Yeah, it's not a rupture.
It was back in the olden days either. It's not an automatic season, but no. They'd have to be up there and, you know, contending for the finals probably for him to get back with any amount of time. Tex Hoy looks like he's going to be able. What'd they say it was about 2 to 3 weeks, I think, for him too. So is Ponga back in time, or
maybe he'll go to the halves? Wouldn't that be fucking hilarious?
Yeah.
One of the better stories for the Dragons, I thought, was the form of Tarek Sims. He's been gone off the boil just in the last sort of 12 months or so. Yep. And you know, with the departure of Frizzell, ironically, to the Knights, he had a massive game and was just fired up. And some of that real passion and aggression that he's sort of built his career on came to the fore again and played some. He really played some good footy and. I was impressed and surprised, much like you say, Jay, with the Dragons. I didn't think that they would put a performance like that together, albeit, you know, their opponent, you know, had to overcome a lot. But yeah, the Dragons were reasonably impressive, I thought.
Tweets.
@_appayipyip44. Jesus, what a fucking name. Sort yourself out, cunt. Said,
hey, fucking,
live by
the... No one... Hey, wait, hang on a minute. You fucking... You like Avatar as much as the next person?
Huh?
Do you like fucking Avatar The Last Airbender as much as the next person? Don't fucking lie.
My kid does. He's six.
I think we should have more fucking Avatar-themed handles out there.
There you go. He said, live by the Mars bar, die by the Mars bar.
What does that even mean, though, really? What does that mean?
I don't know. He's got chocolate in his arsehole. I fucking know.
I feel just a Dragons fan just trying to mention Mars bars.
That's true. Devonhead said, where's my credit, Knights fans? You can all lick up the paprika I'm spurting after that glorious display of attrition and rugby league. @PVerlandisAnon says, Ravalawa swaveled the Knights so hard that it caused collective CTE to its entire fan base into blaming PVL for a failure which has lasted for how long now? Liam. So I suppose the yin and yang of life meant Shibasaki had to benefit from a drop bomb at least once. One-Eyed Tiger said Dragons fans get to put their Easter chocolates in the mouth, not up the anus. And Dave said the Knights are the worst thing to happen to mining since the Chileans tried their hand at it. Didn't fuck me. I haven't seen that much controversy over a jersey.
Oh.
I don't think ever.
Yeah.
And I know it's not that far of a leap in a sport where we believe so fucking strongly in things like hoodoos and bogey teams and all of these things for them to think that stripe is cursed.
I thought it was funny when they, well, not funny, but quite ironic where they showed footage of Mitchell Pearce's previous pec injury and they were playing against the Tigers, but they were wearing that same jersey.
Yeah, that's it.
Which is one of the worst fucking jersey selection games in history, if not the worst.
Yeah.
But like Tigers against an orange high-vis fucking team.
Yeah, exactly.
You would have thought that the fucking Tigers would have been respectful enough to say like, okay, we'll wear the Maggies jersey this week.
Yeah.
But, you know.
We'll wear our more white strip.
That's it.
As they say.
Mm.
Out in Campbelltown way.
That's it. That's with it on that game.
The Roosters 32 blew out the Warriors 12 at the SCG. The Roosters 32 came through tries to Teddy, Nat Butcher, Drew Hutchison, Josh Morris, and a double to BMOZ. Take Aho, 3 or 4 conversions, and Sam Walker with 1. The Warriors had tries through Pompey and Tohu Harris. Cody Nikarima, 2 of 2 conversions. Glenn.
I was disappointed in the Warriors. I expected a better showing from them. The Roosters, on the other hand, really just controlled. And you guys both mentioned last when we did the preview for this game, and I tipped the Warriors, and you both said you spoke about the Roosters systems, and you know you got an 18-year-old halfback that comes in, and I thought he definitely had a reasonable sort of game, being a teenager coming in and playing for such a big club. Trying to fill the boots of Keary. But what I was most impressed with from the Roosters was how his teammates really allowed him to come in and find his feet and not have too much expected from young Walker. There was actually a couple of sets where he didn't actually touch the ball. They sort of, the forwards just controlled it just so he could take a breath and continue to find his feet. So, again, that speaks to the Roosters' systems. The Warriors, I felt like they had plenty of chances to take control of the game, but the execution and their skill plays just continued to let them down. And I feel like that's a sign of Nathan Brown coach sides. You know, they're a bit gritty and show a bit of toughness, but I feel like their skill plays let them down. It was quite similar at the Knights when he was there. So, but the Roosters, once they started to get on top, they just played like they didn't have any of their best players out. You know, so I was really impressed with how they rolled through the forwards. I thought Crichton on the edge, on the left edge, he had a fantastic game. It's one of the best games I've seen him play in a long while. And then the Morris boys and Teddy did their thing. So
Crichton is really stepping up into becoming the player that is just like the obvious replacement for Cordner.
Mm. Yeah.
Like positionally and even like in that sort of leadership capacity on the field as well.
Yeah.
But like this game from the Roosters was better than I ever would have dreamed it was. I mean, I didn't think they'd be able to sort of pick themselves off the ground after so many injuries. Like they'd, you know, like nothing had happened. And while you wouldn't say they were at their absolute best, I mean, they're pretty fucking solid.
Mm. Yep.
Considering what they lost, you know? And like the Mozzies, though, fuck, they stepped up. I mean, at what point do we start saying that, like, Brett Morris is, like, the greatest fucking winger the game has ever seen?
Yeah.
Dead
now.
Set.
Now. Yeah. That's why we say it, because it's true.
Fucking believable. Yeah. Like, the fucking guy is ageless.
Mm.
Yeah.
Maybe the key to fucking longevity in humans is fucking, you know, maybe all of our aging cells and the cell degeneration starts in their neck. Because which is explained why fucking DCE's gone downhill in the early 30s. And and the Mozzies are fucking, the Mozzies are like, you know, 55 years old and they're still fucking like killing it. And like, and he's not scoring like Darius Boyd in State of Origin tries either.
Yeah.
I mean, he has to beat his way through two guys at once and find a way to put the ball down and shit. Like, it's just fucking so impressive.
The thing that makes it more impressive is that he's at that stage of his life where pain's more real.
Mm.
I think the thing is, as we get older and as we learn more and as we grow as people, I think the pain receptors in our brain actually get wiser as well, and they're better at recognizing pain. So you see him crashing over for these tries, and you just know, like, he is in fucking excruciating agony and still getting up and doing it.
Yeah.
But the Roosters were just too good, and they're fortunate to have, you know, just as Melbourne do, that much experience across the park in key positions and probably some unsung heroes in their forward pack. The guys that get in there, they're not, you know, some of them are rep players in their own right, but they're not the superstars. They don't get all the accolades or the attention. They're not the David Fifitas,
yeah,
that sort of player. But they are fortunate that a lot of their scoring opportunities don't really rely on halves to do much more than start it properly.
Yeah.
Because they've got that much talent outside and in their fullback that can roam both sides of the field, that means that while losing Keir is fucking terrible, it may not be crippling. I don't think they're a long-term top four solution. A season's a long time for an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
But fuck, what a first outing.
Yep.
Tweets on this one. Michael said, is there a better sight in rugby league than Bunty Afoa off the back fence?
They haven't re-signed him either. I would fucking have that guy on my side.
Yeah, there's a large portion of the fan base really pushing to get him re-signed.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's one of those players that the fans can really get behind as well.
Mm.
He's just like the way, and like, I do maintain that a lot of it probably has to do with like players that have longer hair, and when they hit the line, their hair flies and it looks like they're fucking doing stuff like that.
Like, Marty Tapiao used to have a bit of that.
Yeah, 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 exactly. But now where's it gone?
Can't doesn't run the ball.
Doesn't
Luke Brooks has put in more effort to run through a banner than you have.
I feel like he's stopped doing his powerlifting during COVID. He's looking smaller and paler ever since fucking the COVID break last year. But anyway, Bunty's awesome though.
Fucking hell. Are you having fucking power failures in Toowoomba? Or is there some sort of ring situation going on here where you're in a haunted house and there's ghosts going to appear behind you when the lights come back on?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Jesus fucking Christ. Your screen keeps going black. Your lights go out.
Really?
Yeah.
No, yeah.
Sorry, no. I don't know what's going
on. What's that clown there behind you? What's that clown on the right of the screen behind you there? Down beside that bed.
Fuck you. I will not sleep tonight. Thank you, Nathan.
Squint and Quarantino on Twitter said, same old from the Warriors. Just hang in the game and they'll check out mentally at some point. Every opposition coach of the Warriors since the Daniel Anderson era. Yeah, that's true. At Warriors suck balls. It was fun until it wasn't. Young Walker did well and the Morris wingers are just too good. Roll on some shittier teams for some wins. Oh, also, Tedesco is really, really good. There you go.
Really, you think. All right, the Parramatta Eels 36 defeat the West Tigers 22. The Stadium Australia, good crowd, just under 30,000 in attendance. The Eels 36 came through tries to Nukore Papali'i, a double to Opacek, double to Fergie Ferg, and Clinton Gutherson also with a try. 4 of 7 conversions to Mitchell Moses. The Tigers tries to Dane Laurie, he's first in first grade. Dewey, Utokamanu, Little with Dewey, 3 of 4 conversions. Glenn.
Really?
You can go first.
I wasn't expecting you to go to me. Para were a million miles off their best. They made a hell of a lot of fucking errors. And the Tigers still weren't good enough to execute a handful of plays at the end to win the game. In fact, they gave up an extra couple of tries. So the Tigers' goal line defence in this game just showed, you know, for all the bleating and all the talk about positive, you know, pulling positives out of each performance and the massive off season that they had working on defence, is all fucking horseshit. And it comes down to player attitudes. When you see, you know, you see teams, we spoke about the Raiders earlier, defending their line. And, you know, Nate, I thought you made a great point earlier saying, you know, teams are going to roll down the field with the six again rules. And, you know, teams that can defend their line and have confidence in their defensive structures to do that are going to be the teams at the top. And the Tigers just, some of the tries they scored were fucking embarrassing to watch. So, and as I said, the countless stories and crap coming out of the club about the off-season focused on defence, and then we turn that out in round four. It's, it's just
poor. And BJ wasn't there either.
No, but Nofa was still there, and...
Yeah.
the try where he rushed, you know, I don't think James Roberts helped him, but the fact that Nofa ran directly in front of James Roberts to try and take a guy...
it was one of those Nofa-est, one of the Nofa-est Nofas.
Yeah.
Ever to be done. I mean, Jay was talking earlier about the, you know, the fact that, you know, somehow the dimensions have ripped and somehow this earth that we all live on and this timeline has become the shit timeline. And there's another, you know, beautiful timeline or, you know, multiple other variations. Let me tell you, if I was ripped out of time and I was floating between different eras and I needed a constant to anchor myself so that I could find my way back home to my home timeline, I would nominate my constant to be the play of David Nofaluma, David Nofaluma's rugby league ability. Because I tell you, it doesn't matter where you are set adrift in time. You can always find your back to That's those it. Misreads.
Like all of the realities where he's playing Origin were the ones where they didn't find out about COVID until 3 months down the track. And every other winger the dead.
It had mutated to the point where it actually targeted and murdered wingers.
And also
Someone assassinated Peter Volandis, yeah, so he wasn't able to save rugby league. And it got itself into the playing group and mutated through there.
Yes.
The Tigers fan base on Twitter there's a large segment of them that just will just trot out and search for any semblance of a positive. You know, the fact we clawed our way back and we got within two. You know, Para should have and were well in a position to beat us by 60 at a critical stage in that game. And the fact that they didn't is on Para. Not on anything that the Tigers did spectacularly well. And there were still some, you know, the same old things that I've said for, you know, 4 weeks and I've been saying before I came back here. I just think the fifth tackle options, a goal line defence, I've been saying it for seasons. And you know, I've been saying it through 1, 2, 3, 4 different coaches now. Yeah, there's a hell of a lot of work to do. You can't look at that game and say that the Tigers are legitimately competitive with the top tier of sides based on that performance. And you know, if anything, they're a long way off.
You've won one game this year, and you've been competitive in one game this year. And the constant in both of those is that cunts couldn't catch bombs.
Yep.
You can't go into an NRL season with your sole attacking plan being hope they can't catch bombs.
I agree with you. I agree with you.
You know, and realistically, that's it. Anyone that looks at the Tigers' performance today and says that they clawed their way back into that game is fucking kidding themselves. What happened was that Blake Ferguson and King Gutho had absolute fucking dick finger moments at the back.
Mm.
And that led to points.
You know? And the thing is as well, the Eels were like extremely tired and dare I say almost out on their feet towards the end of that game. The Tigers were 2 points adrift and it looked like that they could come home the stronger. But the second that they bridged that gap and became 2 points adrift, then that actually woke Parramatta up. And they're like, oh, fuck, these cunts can steal this. And so what they do? Instantly, bam, put a try to put, you know, 8 points up, put the game out of doubt effectively, and then played right to the fucking whistle, literally, and you know, put another one on, you know, put the pressure, kept the pressure on, and put another one off a forced error right at the end of, after the siren.
Yep.
The only saving grace from this game is that we play the Cowboys next week, and we always beat the fucking Cowboys.
Also that Dane Laurie scored his first NRL try and he was fucking awesome again.
I can't say anything more about the guy. I honestly feel like if we don't sign him within the next month to a 5-year contract, there is, you know, want to talk about parallel universes and all the rest of it, he'll be playing for the Roosters or someone else in fucking 18 months or some other club that can see the value and can actually let him fulfill his potential, because I'm not sure the Tigers have that in them.
As soon as Matt Burton backflips. So does Matt Burton backflips, he will as well.
We'll end up back home. And the true irony, we'll end up with fucking Dylan Edwards. Fuck me.
Alfred E. Newman. Hey, did you see the NITV interview with Dane Laurie?
No.
I didn't see it on TV, but I saw it on Twitter today. And they were interviewing him and sort of like, you know, where are your people, where are you from and everything. And he's from like Yamba or Iluka or somewhere around there. So the Dane Laurie thing, big Dane Laurie. Is his uncle, and he was named after him.
How good!
So he was actually named for him. So yeah, so
how good.
That's I didn't know that there was an actual familial connection between them two. Okay. But not only that, but he was actually named after him too. That's why his name is Dane. So
nice.
So and then that made me think, Jesus Christ, how long ago was Big Dane Laurie? Was he that long ago? And it turns out he was probably about I think Dane the Junior was born in 99 and Big Dane was born in about 84. So there's actually quite a decent age difference between them. Yeah.
Alistair in our Facebook group said, Luciano needs to hit up Manscaped to get that scrotum chin hair sorted.
It's a long way.
Rishi, who I'm gonna give fucking comment of the year so far to.
Comment of the year. Here we go.
Says, I don't really care who wins. I just want Dane Laurie to play great, become a favourite of the Tigers fan base, then come back to Penrith at the end of the year. Then each team can take turns to do this every year to the Tigers. We'll call it granting.
Excellent. You know what? I had another title in mind for the episode this week, but it's actually changed now. The title is going to be granting.
What was it going to be, may I ask?
Sorry?
What was it going to be?
I don't remember. I don't have the app open, but I did write something down earlier in the episode. But I'm literally opening Photoshop up now while Jay's talking and making the actual thumbnail for the show.
Fat Harry Lazy said, the most Tigers loss you could get. Within 2 points with a real chance to win it, only to lose 13+. Hashtag Tigers in decline. At JBartlin90 on Twitter said, I want to eat my last chocolate Easter bunny, but the way Parra nearly choked on that game makes me pretty damn hesitant. Maybe I'll do a Furco impression and drop it on the tiles first for easier consumption. Excellent. At Geo_Ute on Twitter said, the Eels are giving me Pittsburgh Steelers 2020 vibes. Yes, undefeated, but don't feel like a well-polished unit, with a misfiring Storm side being their only real challenge so far. Nate, I'll let you comment on the validity of that comparison.
Yeah, the Steelers were, they went undefeated for a long period in the most recent season, and they were kind of unconvincing. And then once they started losing to I can't say never should lose to, and ultimately they didn't fire a shot at the business end.
There you go. Super Grover said, how many different home ground advantages do the Tigers need to win a game? They're more anxious than a gypsy with a mortgage. Which I don't know if that's racist or not.
I feel it is.
Okay. So
in the current, you've got guys like Tyson Fury referring to himself as the Gypsy King, but he is of Gypsy or Traveller or whatever you want to call it.
Pretend characters in movies don't count.
Not to mention that reference is completely plagiarized from the Honey Badger, the guy that plays rugby, that does the undies ads. So get some fucking original material.
I don't know who I'm more disappointed in here, the Grover for tweeting it or for you for knowing that fact. And is that even a fact, or does the Honey Badger just regurgitate every bit of Ocker slang that he's ever fucking heard either?
What's worse? That you know who the Honey Badger is, or that you watch fucking commercial television?
I'll live in Toowoomba. There's not a great deal of options.
Jesus Christ. Okay, well... apparently Nick Fury's the Gypsy King, so fucking there we go.
Tyson Fury. The fucking heavyweight boxing champion of the fucking world.
There you go.
Whose fight name is the Gypsy King.
Good for him.
I mean, there wasn't anything to think about there. I literally said all of the information.
Unless he comes out to that fucking Bombaleo song. Bombaleo. Get that out of your head now.
Try and sing that and without sounding like you're making racist versions of Spanish. Go on, you know you want to. Look at the devil on your shoulder. I can see him telling you right now.
Hang on. Do Spanish people fall into the same category as us, that it can't be racist?
Oh, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure that you could be racist to like Mexicans and Spanish-speaking people.
They're Spanish. See, you've just been. They're not Spanish people. They're Spanish-speaking people. I'm talking about Spanish people.
Like people from Spain.
And Ibiza.
Home of Ibiza.
I feel like we've got off track.
Yeah, just for something different.
So, in short, Storm fans are racist. At Zepled69 said, who's picking up the freight to take on Mbai? Yeah, it's a good question. We addressed that last week in the episode, and he didn't do anything today, I don't think. Like, fuck me, the poor cunt's trying. You can see him trying to get out of there.
Yeah. He's trying to get out of there.
Yeah.
That's fucking brilliant.
He's trying to make himself worse the $300,000 to $400,000 that his recipient club will have to pay eventually.
That's it.
Yeah. Is that it?
That's it.
Well, that is it then. Full time for episode 387. Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can interact with us in a multitude of ways. Just head to thisweekinleague.com. All our links are there on the right, or Google Twill Nation Linktree, and that'll be your top result. All the links to all the things. And we are very happy that in the last week, the memberships have gone live in all their permutations. If you go to thisweekinleague.com, click on the link to the shop, and you can get one of our old school classic memberships with the shirt and other merchandise and stickers and whatnot, which is great. And we've got tons of people on those already. So thank you to those who've already fronted up. Hoodies are up as well. So grab those. We want to pump those out so that we actually have them in our hands when it gets cold enough for that brief window in Australia for 3 weeks where we can actually wear them and enjoy them. And Patreon has gone huge since we opened it. We had a brief little window there of exclusivity for the Digi members of last year to get into their grandfathered position, but it's open for everyone now, and we've had a great response so far. So go to patreon.com/TwillNation, and you can see the various tiers. There are tiers there to suit every budget, and with the inclusions there, some great stuff, especially for like the grand final sort of time of the year as well. And really looking forward to having some good times. And speaking of the Patreon, just to give a shout out to a couple of our beautiful patrons that jumped on through the week. Cody Girlstone, who's been around, probably real dad probably remembers the name because he's been around since for a long, long time. And of course, we can't forget our MVC and just all around nice guy, Aaron Maher, as well. Shout out to you, sir, and thank you for jumping on board. You've been a great supporter. Actually, all three of you have been great supporters over the years, over the last couple of years, and it's great to have you on going forward.
Aaron Maher is one of the fantastic, most naturally funny human beings I've ever encountered. I rate him very highly.
And also an actual, like, not like an internet funny guy. He's like a legit good guy as well. Like, you know, yes, we've obviously spent a lot of time with him, you know, in person at meetups and stuff. And he's just an awesome guy. So All of you are awesome, though, because you are patrons of ours. And so, yeah, patreon.com/TwillNation. Get in there. And one of the benefits that all memberships, whether you buy the classic one on our website or you join up as a patron, is that given the ongoing menace that the fucking bat flu COVID actually is, we don't know when it comes down to grand final weekend, we don't know if venues are going to be capping what we do for our meetups. So whereas in the past, it's just been like one in, all in, rock up. We start at midday, rock up whenever you like. We are anticipating that we're probably going to have to cap things and make them, you know, ticketed events in quotes, whereas not that there's a ticket cost involved, but just the ticket possession involved to get into it.
Like and a lottery event.
Yeah. And if that happens, well, yeah, rather than a lottery, if that happens, I mean, the patrons and the people who buy the classic memberships are going to consist, that they are going to make up the numbers first, and then if there's anything left afterwards, then we'll open up to people outside of that. We're going to support the people who support us first and foremost. We appreciate you motherfuckers, and yeah, if that sounds like you, get in there.
Nice.
Anything else you want to add, fellas, before we wrap things up?
That's us.
It's done.
That's it. All right. In that case, we'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Later.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.